Welcome to another episode of Comedy Wham Presents with me, your host, Valerie. This week's episode was recorded live in New York City at Martin Urbano and Kelsey Kane's apartment in the East Village. And you'll also hear Laura Smith, who joined me for that interview. We had such a great time catching up with Kelsey and Martin, who moved from Austin to New York City 3 and 2 years ago. Martin moved 2 years ago. Kelsey moved to New York for graduate school. And I definitely recommend that you go back and listen to the original interviews with Martin, released in February of 2016, and Kelsey's, which was released in April of 2016. They're very different people since those interviews, but they're also even more of the same people. Like, they've really impressed upon me how important it is to stay true to yourself and chase after what it is that you want. Don't sit idle and think that things will come your way. You have to go seek them out. I think that may have been the most important thing that came out of this interview. I'll apologize in advance. Kelsey and Martin are an absolute delight. I've always enjoyed sitting down with them. Martin has been a guest on some other podcasts that Laura and I do, Radio Tatas, and they are the funnest human beings, and we laughed so much, and I'm sorry that I giggled as much as I did, but they were just a delight. We hope you enjoy listening to all of their updates about life in New York City and comedy and pursuit of comedy and chasing after the dream of being a performer. And now, here is Comedy Wham Presents with Martin Urbano and Kelsey Kane.
Yeah.
There you go.
So much has changed.
The DC police is trying to kill my right to call myself the next Hitler.
I'd say if you've given up any freedoms, that's been your number one freedom you've given up. And I won't stand for it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Because I'm sitting down and I do not care.
Kelsey.
Oh, are we doing it?
Martin.
We started, yes. Yay.
Caught it right in time. Just perfect timing.
Oh, did you get him saying he wanted to be Hitler? That's super important that we get that on the podcast.
No, that's not what I said. So the DC police is killing my right. That doesn't mean I'm wanting it. I just want the right to.
I just want the right.
Well, this is a combo Comedy Wham interview because my contributor, yay, Laura Smith, is here as well.
Yeah.
And we are here in New York City, the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Home of the small-sized apartments. We all have our hats on.
It's very
important to have our game faces for the interviews.
I agree. Aesthetic is everything.
But we can't describe everything. The hats. That's just for
oh,
us.
Oh, that's just
room.
For us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I disagree.
That's just these hats are
everyone talk about your hat.
It's going to be a lot of arguing on this part.
You're not going to make them talk about their hats.
The
I refuse to do this podcast.
Well, I'm not going to describe what Kelsey just did.
And I refuse until we talk about our hats.
Okay, maybe by the end we'll talk about our hats. How about that?
Fine.
Can we do good? No,
this interview's off to a rocky start. If
I had a loud mic, I'd angrily take it out, throw it away, and say this interview's
over.
Not
the way I wanted things to go.
You guys are so nice to set time aside for us to sit down with you in New York because you were among our first interview guests when Comedy Wham started in 2016.
Yay. We're
pioneers.
You are
pioneers.
Yeah,
we like to be
yes.
I was going to call us fans, way.
And fans.
Wow.
Pioneers, fans, it's all the same.
It's literally exactly
you're so nice
the same.
For wanting to talk to
showing
us again.
Up at no midnight on
up.
Saturday night.
Thank
fall
for,
back,
thank
everyone.
You for us.
Yeah.
That is
thank you for participating in our night schedule. I appreciate that.
Well, we had to make sure you got your shows out of the way, and you know.
But she said, "How was your show?" And I said, "Good." And then she's like, "Was it good?" I was like, "What show?"
Yeah, what were we talking about?
I was talking about the Thursday night one.
Oh, our final.
It went great. Yeah. We're excited. We're happy.
That one went really well. Yeah. It went really well.
And what was that one called?
It was called Little Miss Comedy. It is a beauty pageant comedy pageant. You have to be hot as shit to win. You actually don't have to be that funny, though. It's just like a real pageant.
One of the things that I like to do as an icebreaker is to ask one word to describe your past. I will do a full confession that I had written notes about what you had said as your word, but I didn't write down what you, Martin, had said
as your word. Like, so, remember.
Yeah. So for you, it'll be a fresh slate, but for Kelsey, I'll have something to compare against.
Are you going to tell me what I said? We'll see. Do I have to say something first, and then you'll
tell me? It doesn't matter.
It has to be one word?
One word to describe your past.
You're going to describe your own past?
I got to describe my past in one word.
He's turning around, just, you know, for the listening audience, he's turning around.
Did you do the thing where you stand against the wall and think? People are obsessed with that.
We don't have that kind of time. I'm going to go ahead and say, hilarious.
Hilarious. One word.
And if I could add one word to his description of himself, I would say heartbreaking.
Yes. It is precisely
hilarious
both of those.
And heartbreaking. It sounds like you broke my heart.
I think it sounded like you're my team member for being able to understand exactly what I was dropping down and putting it back up.
And
hilarious and heartbreaking. Three words.
I am
final answer.
You're heartbroken.
And she's heartbroken.
But
that's a separate thing.
It is a separate issue.
It's a completely separate issue. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, all right.
You can't make me.
I won't make you at all. No, I won't. So, your word?
Oh, my
Kelsey?
Word for my past? Oh, man, I'm glad I thought about it during one of those
You mean you didn't re-listen to your previous interview?
Oh, I'd say my past, straightforward, regal, cookie cutter, a modest existence.
I go with regal.
Regal?
If it's a voting matter. All
those words are exactly the same, and you could choose any single one.
Yeah, they're
interchangeable words.
So do you want to know what you're
saying? Yeah, I want to know what I said.
What did you say?
It was shady.
Shady.
Is that perfect? From shady to regal.
I really changed it up.
That's the episode title. From shady to regal.
Story
you have
had
past since then.
That's true.
Yeah. I'd like to say shady's still also interchangeable word.
So when I sat down with you guys, you were like within a few months of coming out to New York. You've been in New York. It's been 2.
I've lived here for 3 years. Martin's lived here for 2 years.
2 years ago today.
There's a chance.
Really?
Not really. But I say that and it kind of is fun, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, ooh, today.
I can believe it.
It was two.
You're a damn liar.
In a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to change mine to liar.
What kind of truth is this?
And part of the reason that you came to New York is because you were going to go to graduate school. Or you did go to graduate school.
I did. Yeah. I just finished graduate school, yeah.
Congratulations, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just finished graduate school. That's how I know all those words are interchangeable. I have a master's degree in writing, so they actually are interchangeable, and I do know that for a fact.
And so now you finally know the secret formula to writing a joke.
Yep, I got it. I can't tell you, though, that you have to go to graduate school. And I do say that to young comedians every day. I say, how do I get started in comedy? I say, go to graduate school. And once you finish that, then talk to me again. Really weeds out the process of them talking to me again. It is great.
And somehow you have managed through graduate school, which I can't imagine is an easy thing to do. I mean, you are spending a fair amount of hours.
I disagree. It was very easy.
Okay.
No, I had a good time.
Yeah, well, you're in New York. I mean, how could you not have a good time?
I would say that I don't think I would have gone to graduate school if it had not been in New York. Maybe I would have gone in Los Angeles, but that just sounds so pathetic. Going to graduate school in LA. Ew.
Shade has been thrown.
Yeah, that's what I think, anyway. LA. I think their graduate school scene is gross.
City of graduate.
Don't talk to me, Berkeley.
Whoa. Lemony Lamps was controversial.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to tame these guests.
This is going to be like the Biggie Tupac feud when we're done.
Tell everyone in Austin what I think. Tell them. Go back. Because he hates LA graduate schools. And she'll just say it.
But you haven't just been doing graduate school. I'll admit, very biased, but I remember one of your memorable campaigns, if you will, was your bid for the New York...
Miss New York?
Miss New York.
Oh, thank you for remembering. That's so
nice of you. And then, actually, very currently, you've got this little viral video and this character that you've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
How's your right arm?
My sex offender character is going incredibly well, as is his career still. It has been a wild ride. I feel like I have gotten to do a lot while I've been in graduate school, and graduate school did notice.
Uh-oh. Is that a good thing, or...
It was bad until it was good. Sometimes they would be upset I wasn't more involved in graduate school, but then once I wrote for the New York Times, they were like, we don't care. They were like, you make a great point. Just do whatever you want. I never made a B anymore after that.
What did you write for the New York Times?
I wrote about the beauty pageant, okay. The Miss New York, Miss New York USA. I did compete, just in case everyone does not know the story of my life. I competed in the Miss New York USA beauty pageant. I was a state finalist, which is what they call all of the losers. I did feel incredibly accomplished about it.
Your gown was gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I not only did I wear that gown for that beauty pageant, I also wore it again for the beauty pageant show that we made the other night. So,
well, I love seeing the promo videos for your show the other night because I saw the blue gown and I'm like, oh, I wonder if the stain is still there.
fun fact about the stain. Yeah. I'm devastated that the stain is no longer there.
What?
But it is all for the best, because I went home, I brought the dress, I went home, the dress does not fit me. I don't know if anyone knows that, it is something I promote actively. This dress does not fit on my body, it's for a much smaller person than me. You know who it fit on? It fit on Maggie Mae. She could zip it all the way up. That's who could wear it. You have to be like a literal size 0-2, whatever. So I just like... safety pin it at the top of it and just leave it totally unzipped in the back every time I wear it. So I brought it home so that my mom could try to like sew it. She got one of her really good friends to seamstress sew it, like a clasp for me, which they did not want to do, but they did anyway, so it was very sweet. And then my mom was looking at this dress and she was so mad that it was so disgusting. I mean, it had, like, multiple stains on it, but there was, like, that one really great stain in the front, just urine yellow, just a beautiful stain. And so she took the whole dress and she put it in the washing machine.
Oh!
And when I got downstairs in the morning, she's like, I washed the dress, it was fine, the stain came out. And then when I got, I was like, okay, fine, I guess this is reasonable. Like, you know, definitely not consensual, mom, but reasonable. And then when I got to the beauty pageant to compete in it, they were like, okay, we went and looked at you online. Obviously, you're some sort of weird freak. Does the dress still have a stain on it? If it does, you cannot compete in this beauty pageant.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like... my mom just washed it, and I didn't even want her to. So you can thank my mom for not being able to kick me out.
Oh my goodness. All right, we'll turn the questions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
To,
Martin
now.
Let's talk more about the dress. That was a great time. That was so fun.
I can talk about the dress all day long.
Yeah,
we I wear about the dress so much. Long. I like how you look.
You have a great look that I will not describe to
people
at home.
You have a great look too right now.
Oh, thank you.
We actually have matching shirts. Look at this shirt.
That's true.
Made.
Very patriotic. Feel. Oh. Well,
okay, that's a hint. That's
oh, sorry. Sorry.
Well,
yeah,
I wouldn't say what country.
Yeah, that's right. I did not say which country.
And you know how we feel about France.
And just so you know, Martin is from South Texas. So. The country of South Texas.
Different world.
So you've been here 2 years and...
Today.
Yesterday.
We celebrated.
And what have you accomplished, Martin?
No. What?
Yeah, what has he accomplished? I like the way you're saying it. What has he accomplished, really, though?
Martin Urbano, that's your title. Martin Urbano,
what have you accomplished?
Well, I've become a lot more level-headed.
No.
I'm a lot more at peace.
No.
And
no.
I have an inner happiness. So that's all due.
Okay.
Those are accomplishments, right? Pretty good.
Stop. You did it. You were on in Just for Laughs.
I did go to Just
yeah.
for Laughs. Yes.
So
and he just laughed and he just laughed and he just laughed. It was just for laughs.
It was,
and then he went to Just for Grins.
I did go.
Sorry.
And just for winks.
And that was that this year or last year?
That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've gotten some Comedy Central props, too, right?
I got a set coming out in January. Yeah, I'm excited about
it.
He
just
filmed it last month. So.
Exciting.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see. I'm excited. I did some Me Too jokes I'm excited
about.
Wow.
Yeah. Hope those turn out pretty good. I hope it's not irrelevant in January, but I don't think
yeah.
I don't think it will be.
I don't
somehow.
Think that's
you know
it.
What they say, assaulters keep assaulting.
Yeah. Thankfully for my career.
It's really keeping our family in business right now.
Yeah.
Sexual assault is at an all-time high.
I think that'll be a good set. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I just,
it was really good. I watched. I was there when he did the filming. It was really good.
It was nice of you to support him.
It was nice of me. Thank you for saying that. I felt the same way. I was like, shit, I am so nice right now. I don't even have to be here.
Shall I go on? With my line of okay,
oh,
all right.
Sorry,
do you want to drink?
Yeah.
Do you want to drink?
No,
beer?
I'm good.
Anything?
I'm good. I'm just.
Does anybody want anything?
Are you gonna edit this out? Or are you gonna keep it?
No, I don't
chatting?
Do edit.
Oh, good
edit.
For you.
No.
Okay, that's good to
no.
know.
When,
I'm just gonna keep
when
on
I record,
talking now.
When I record the
racist.
Introduction.
Sorry, that was just.
You're talking to though, but
yeah. Yeah. Squarely looking at me. Saying,
I'm really
yeah,
glad you went
that is that. My thing. Okay, so have you... So there seems to be the exodus of folks from Austin to either L.A. or New York. And
I say good for that.
We know how you feel about L.A., Kelsey. It's very clear.
Grad
schools. Yeah, I have no feelings about the comedy world, but the graduate schools.
Because what I've observed is the L.A. comics who come from Austin, they seem to, you know, stick together a bit. And that may just be me, you know, from 3,000 however many miles away. And just reading their Twitters. You know,
yeah.
It could be just that.
I think that's
how is it in New York? Because it has been a while since people in clusters can't come to New York instead of all going to L.A. So how is it? Because the city is so big and intense.
Well, I like to think we're pioneers.
Yeah, me, and especially me before you.
Yeah. By we, I mean her. By her, I mean me. So.
Well, when I moved here, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, but when I moved to New York, you know, no one else was moving to New York. I was moving here very much by myself. Like, I didn't have any friends when I moved here. So I know it's doable, you lazy fuck. Just in case you want some more advice from me, go to graduate school and get your ass to where you want to live. But yeah, then a lot of people moved here after I moved here, and it was very nice. Like, we see Raul Sanchez every once in a while. He's a sweetie.
Yeah.
Kath Barbadoro.
Yeah, Kath.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing very well out here.
Right.
Yeah. Which is nice. Everyone who moved here was so funny, though.
That is.
Yeah, right. They were so funny. So it's like very.
And this city kind of seems to kick your ass unless you like really get yourself in gear. Yeah. So it seems like they all really have kind of found their stride.
Well, I'll say in New York, it's like you really got to be doing shit to hang out at shit. It seems like.
Yeah.
Like, it's harder to hang unless you're, like, you know, unless you go and do stuff.
Like, I guess. I don't know. I just think it's such a big city that there's so much going on that everybody kind of finds their own thing. And, like, we don't really see anybody from Austin on the daily basis, but every time you do, it's like, it's nice to see them. You know, just to see what's going on in this big, crazy city of ours.
It's a really big city. Like, there are people that I haven't seen in, like, a whole year. And I'll see them. And they're like, I can tell they've been doing comedy all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, independent of the grad school, had you not had that tie, what other draw do you have? Like, there's a lot of people that will pick L.A. over New York, or they'll try to come to New York, and then they'll go to L.A. What would you say to comedians that are trying to consider what is the draw for New York? Where's the benefit there?
I think that it kicks your ass, like I mentioned. I do think that was really good for me specifically.
I think you gotta get your ass kicked, though.
The first few months here, I had more anxiety than I ever had in my life. Like, it's a very anxious city. I mean, I'm just from Texas, from South Texas, and I went to Denton, Texas. And I was in Austin, Texas, like the most chill place in the whole time.
Notoriously the rat race. I'd say. I've heard horrible things.
Suicide rates
off the rails.
Oh, ouch.
But, and then I moved here and was very scared at first, but it just really makes you go, you know, you walk outside and now you're in the city or you're out doing stuff. And I didn't have to drive myself anywhere. I didn't have to think that much. I just had to walk my body to go do the stuff. Yeah. And for me, that worked out perfect. I know people it works out really well in L.A. too. I think there is some rivalry between New York and L.A. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm New York. I'm a big fan, and I don't see myself moving there unless it's for a lot of money.
Well, there,
in which case, I'll do anything.
There are a lot of comedians in L.A. that I think are really cool, and I'm really inspired by.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're really making L.A. work for them. And, you know, I think the same about New York. And it's just wherever it works for you to live and be. You know, some people, like, freaking love having a car. Like, I don't know.
I think it really boils down to the simple stuff. It's not really about what scene is better, what's what. I mean, I think maybe there's more stand-up here and more
movie and TV
opportunities in L.A.
Like,
more
if you
want to
be an
jobs.
Actor,
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's moving to Los Angeles is probably a really good idea.
If you really like pitching stuff to people or auditioning for commercials, if that's your thing, then maybe that might be better for you. And over here, if you're just focusing on going up every single night as much as you can.
You can do that here. When I first moved here, it's like, I had zero friends, and I did, like, 2 or 3 open mics a night, and it's like, that'll make you get better at comedy.
Yeah.
And, for sure it will.
I think there's that, and that's what I was interested in.
And in L.A., I know it's a little bit harder to do more stand-up in a shorter amount of time. And,
it's
like,
so
yeah, it's really spread out. Yeah, it just reminds me so much of Houston. But, so here was really great.
So, point of trivia, what is the most number of shows that you've done in one night? Shows can be open mics, combination of things.
I think I've done, like, maybe, like, 4.
Wow.
Maybe 4 shows in a night.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know people who have done, like...
Some people, you want to know, Subha Agarwal probably has done, like, 30 shows in one night.
She,
what?
That girl can hustle.
Yeah, there's, if you map it out proper, you know, starting at 5:30 and then going to 2 a.m. I'm sure you can get like at least 10 or something like that.
Yeah,
I remember hearing the number that like Hannibal Buress did, or maybe it was Suba, somebody did one time, and people kept talking
like
about
16,
it. And I was just
like
yeah,
real
it was like,
16.
I was like,
like
blown
just a
away
number that
it.
Made no sense.
For me, like, three or four is like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a busy night. I like that. I like when, yeah. you know, three, I guess three is kind of common. Four, maybe four. Four
yeah. I four think four is like right. the most, how could you even do five? There's no way I've done five shows.
Like, that is like, an advantage to being in a place that's not car centric. You know, yeah. A place like LA totally, where the traffic is terrible. There's
you can't
no
do
way.
More than two shows in a night in LA. Right. Unless they're like time, like your first show's at 6, your second show's at 8, your third show's at midnight.
Right.
And it doesn't yeah. seem like here in New York, the clubs, there's so many shows going on at like
all the time.
1 a.m.
They're
and
cranking
out in LA,
them out.
I think I'm, I
like
can't
you can just hang out at the Creek in the Cave. Maybe if I hung out at the Creek in the Cave all day, I could maybe do like. 8 shows.
That is true. Yeah,
I bet I could. I bet you could. Someone could.
Yeah. How has... Would you say that... Obviously, you went to graduate school for writing, so you're perfect at writing now.
I am perfect at yeah. it, and I am glad you said it that way. And again, if you don't go to graduate school, you cannot become a comedian. And you did hear it here first.
I do have that what? Handicap against me.
Yes.
Not having gone to graduate
I hear
school,
Pete Holmes is just saying, go to open mics. What's he talking about? Why is he lying to you? He's lying.
And Martin, I always loved the way you wrote your jokes. I mean, I've always been a big fan of just the turns and just the darkness, but like in a really whimsical way.
Thank you. Yeah, you know. It's just my influences
is that,
combining together.
Yeah. Has being in New York changed any of that? I haven't seen a current set, so I'm excited to see what's going to come out in
I
January.
I hope the Comedy Central set turns out well. That was definitely when my people were telling me to come up with a set, they were like, just stuff that you can't do on late night. So this one, instead of my Kimmel set, which was very like, this is, I made it for late night.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more like, all right, these are the ones that
yeah.
I couldn't get away with on TV. So we'll see how that goes. But
it was such a good set. It was such a good set.
I'm trying to think of the jokes that I've written. I guess if I had to really get into it, because I love talking about my process.
That's what this show is all about. Comedy Wham.
I think I've... veered a little bit away from the like very exact tight jokes and gotten trying to do more concepts and then putting in tight jokes within the concepts like my joke where I have the audience member read my jokes more stuff like that because that's the stuff I have the most fun with
yeah.
So I think I've just been like what's more fun for me personally maybe that's what's going on. We'll
I'll pigeonhole, and you can correct me on this. So,
pigeonhole.
Very clear that you are the stand-up. You, however, are dabbling in so many things. The pageant, the Louis C.K. sex offender video.
Is that his name?
Your puppets.
Edit that out.
Sorry. Alleged...
No, he admitted it.
It was alleged, and then he confirmed.
Right. He said, I did it, it was me, I did it. Why are you so mad?
Notarized. He had it notarized.
No, but it was me, I did it. You can't be mad. I think that was his exact
So, as I could say that Martin is very, like, focused on this track of the stand-up comedy performer, and you can correct me too, like if you, now that you're in New York and getting, you know, you've been on Kimmel and you're going to have this Comedy Central set come out, maybe you do want to get into acting and other things, but Kelsey, to me, you're like, you're the dabbler, you're the experimenter in different forms.
I would say, just before she says her piece, that I think I veered, maybe not veered away from stand-up, because,
yeah.
you know, I'm still doing a lot of gigs. I'm very lucky to be doing those. But my interests are, I'm trying to write a lot more. I'm writing a lot more stuff, working
yeah.
on stuff with Kelsey, because I do love her stunts and her experimental stuff. We're big fans of Nathan For You and like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
So I think I'm figuring out what's past just stand up because as much as I can like doing it, I want to do more creatively.
Yeah.
Stand-up's a really limiting world, you know? Like, the top of this world is sex offenders. The bottom is sex offenders.
That's so freaking true.
It's just like, it's a really hard cap to find out where you fit in between sex offenders and sex offenders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the top of stand-up.
Stand-up,
like,
it's
what
like,
else do, you know, do I want to do?
Where does a non-sex offender fit into the mix? That's what I'm always asking myself about stand-up. I'm like, but where should we be doing it? Obviously not everywhere.
But where can we, Kelsey? Where can we? Well, I think that this is the charm of like getting to catch up with you two is like you kind of you're bringing you bring each other up, like you're inspired by her creative.
Did I say I did not mean?
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll edit that in post.
Is that how you interpreted it?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, not that. No, okay.
All right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I was just making a quick little joke.
I was trying to make a compliment.
It was long and drawn out, and we all regret it. Especially me, I'm embarrassed for you.
I think you spoke a little too soon.
We feel the love.
Did you hear that?
Feeling
you hear
the
what she just
love.
Said to me on your podcast? She's disrespecting me. I am leaving. If I had a lav mic, seriously, now is
now,
when I tear it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, okay.
It's over.
All right, so Kelsey, your turn. What inspires you about Martin?
Yeah, Kels.
Legally, I can't use the word inspiration to describe what happens between
Whoa.
Us.
This is called Comedy Wham, Kelsey. We're going to focus on the comedy industry and that.
Stand-up's so fun. Comedy's so fun. What a fun world to be in. No, yeah, I think stand-up, I like stand-up, I appreciate stand-up. I mean, I credit stand-up to why I became a writer, 100%. I don't think I would have become a writer unless I could perform what I wrote in small doses to people who gave me immediate feedback. I don't think I could. And that is what I think stand-up is. I think it is performing what you write in small doses to people who give you immediate feedback.
Yeah.
And when people don't see it that way, I'm like, you have lost your goddamn mind. I should not interact with you, and you are unwell. But I love stand-up for that. It was so nice for me. Especially, like, I have dyslexia, so writing is, like, such a process that sucks a lot of the time. Like, the editing process is something I would rather do out loud with a bunch of people forcing them to listen to it. I'm probably one of the very few people who feels that way. I recognize that. Martin's like, yeah, people don't feel that way about stand-up.
I've seen Kels find her voice, over the past, like, couple of years. Since she moved to New York, it's been an interesting journey, to go from somebody who was trying to fit into what most stand-ups are doing, and now instead is doing what is true to her, and that has made, like, a huge difference in what I see. Like, when she's alive performing, that inspires me to be more alive when I'm performing, instead of where I was just, like, it's like a ballet recital, you know, like, I have to be,
but
like, real perfect with my
yeah.
every single thing. I'm like,
too,
I remember
though.
And I'm like, well, it is great.
I
definitely
so
am still way closer to that, but
yeah, I find it very beautiful that you can pull that off and be so perfect. And I think that a lot of stand-up comedians go for being really perfect, but, like, the purpose is no reason.
Perfection is hard.
It seems just psychotic.
Perfection is hard, and when I finally let go of the idea of, like, I'm only happy if it's, like, a 100%, when I was like, anything above 90, I am killing it and I'm having fun. Mm. That's what I've been striving for
the
most. And she has been having more and more fun on stage, you know, just as time goes on. And she's, like, really finding what she's doing.
Well, I would say that's, like, the exact perfect description. So the difference between me and you is Martin is, like, grading himself in his mind. Like, oh, what the fuck?
You're just
like
trying
when
to have
he
fun.
Said it was like it was like the most normal thing to say in the entire world.
And you know how
and
you quantify your life? Does that not happen ever? You put a numerical figure in front of your...
I have.
I think it's a normal thing for some people, but it can drive yourself crazy if you don't do it right, right?
Like yeah, you, or absolutely.
I'm not someone who listened to, like, any podcasts. I'm not someone who really understood really anything about the stand-up industry before just doing it myself. And I think that is the only thing that has kept me in it.
That you didn't understand it?
I didn't even care to learn about it. I wouldn't even, you know. I was like, oh,
is that
yeah.
Ignorance is bliss? Is that...
Oh, definitely. I mean, I still, when I think about stand-up, think about Seinfeld. Which is, I'm sure, no other stand-up comedian feels that way.
I don't think so. No, I think a lot of people respect and, like...
No, but, like, doing stand-up. I'm like, it's mostly just me hanging out with my friends. And then I go off and do a thing. It's annoying, and then I come back and I hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, and
such
I
a means to an end.
I think I don't know, but it seems like a lot of other comedians. I fit in a lot better with people who I think are like doing more hilarious life things.
Yeah,
that makes more sense to me. Stand-up is so, you know, it's so great when you can see someone's like alive in the room, being like. Having such a good time performing their jokes. It is psychotic when you realize they've done it over and over and over and over again, and they're grading themselves in their mind over how well it went.
I get it, Kelsey. Right here.
Like, it just becomes like the least human interaction of all time.
I think, I've seen other stand-ups go through this too, where it's just, there's a phase where after you kind of get like a little
taste of success, yeah,
and then you start to be like, okay, so I gotta hold myself to a certain standard. Well, definitely, what was it for? That was like a whole... I think that's more of a personal journey, but I think it's more of like a stand-up journey to see people, like, after they do get a little bit... They kind of were like, okay, well, let me do what got me that in the first place. So then they just kind of try to recreate that every time, and then they just start to seem more, yeah, like, robotic. And I know I have seen this with myself, being like, that's not how... humans talk, like, I'm not right. connecting with people, yeah. I'm just trying to say the words, like, I remember them getting me stuff,
yeah.
And then I think that's, like, the next phase past that, and I hope I'm on the other side of it.
Yeah, there's definitely something so beautiful about the perfection thing, though, because I was there also when he filmed his Kimmel set, and it was perfect, and it was perfect,
it was
very good. And it made me cry, yeah. It was perfect, and it made me cry. And also laugh, I guess, whatever. I heard the jokes a lot of times before that, so it truly didn't really make me laugh very much. Sorry.
I did feel alive there, though.
Yeah, and he looked so alive. He looked so happy to be doing it. And it's like, I know some comedians who are like, fucking hating while they're on stage, just like in this rigid, like, what am I going to say next way. It just, I don't know, I think there's a lot of different reasons people become comedians, and there's a part of it that maybe I don't connect to very much, which is people really want to write and perform these perfect jokes, and I do not.
So, I'm trying to capture this notion, so I feel like it's more important to perform than... Oh, I don't know that I'm going to catch it. You're the writer, Kelsey. What am I trying to say? like, there, you want to perform, and that is so open, versus you want to do a set.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah, that's a good grasping at it. Yeah, no, don't beat yourself up so much. Yeah, that's a good grasp.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything very coherent in your defense.
Like, well, you know, for the people that are listening, because, you know, they're going to want to know what have Kelsey and Martin learned in their time in New York?
Well, I will also say this about myself, is I also don't find myself to be a very good performer.
Oh, really?
So it's like very funny that it's like, it seems like I'm more interested in performance, because that's not exactly it either.
Yeah, I think we're both...
I'm, like, very interested in being funny.
Yeah.
I don't really give a shit about any of the other stuff.
Have you seen Adam Sandler's new special?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes. You gotta check it out. But yes.
Twice.
I'm going down on my second time to watch because I'm like, I overwatch specials a lot whenever I really like them and really respond to them. I'm trying not to like burn myself out too quick.
Yeah.
But that is one that definitely reminded me, like, yeah, you're just supposed to be
like
funny
fun.
And have fun.
Fun. Yeah. Exactly.
And that was like, that was big. Yeah. I mean, and that's something I kind of also realized my own personal self the past few months. And so it was like nice to kind of like see it, but be like, yeah, of course. Yes, I'm glad. I'm glad I was right.
Yeah.
As an audience member, I think that has to do with connecting with comic. If you're just focused on going through that set and not feeling the room and that back and forth,
you
miss out on the ability to really connect.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, get into that robotic thing instead.
Absolutely.
But there are other comedians, though, who really don't connect to the audience, really, and they're really connecting to themselves being disconnected from the audience, and then that works, too.
Yeah, there's a lot
ways to be a performer.
A lot of different ways to come out of that phase, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people go into. Yeah.
I guess there's no way I was going to be, like, a very straight-laced club comedian. It's mostly the sex offender thing. They just keep hiring them. But it's also, like, you have to be this very particular way. You can be a sex offender, but you also have to tell these very rigid jokes. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me.
There was a point, and this was back in Austin, and when me and Kels first started dating, that at Cap City, shout out to Cap City, I wanted to get more hosting work, and like I wanted to like get into the club more.
And I had already been living in New York, right?
Yeah,
maybe not.
I left even. I just remember there was a moment where
I
was like, maybe I should just get rid of my weird stuff. You know, maybe just go one-liners. Just like, because I'm good at those, you know, I should just make my act. All the one-liners should just focus on that.
And the people who were getting work at the club were, like, very much very tight joke writers.
Yeah, that's a totally valid way to go. But it was, you know, the weird stuff was a part of me. I'd already thought of that audience member bit. And there was other stuff, like the Parker Posey bit and stuff that I would do that was more weird. And I was like, maybe it doesn't fit into the club, so maybe I should change it. Kelsey was just like, I like you because of your weird stuff. Like, the weird stuff is clearly a part of you. And I was like, And then now, looking back, and I'm just like, of course, the whole time the weird stuff has been a part of me.
Yeah.
But I wanted to try to fit in somewhere. And it's like, not that there's anything wrong with tight, well-written jokes. I still try to do those, you know, and I respect people who do it. But the weird stuff has really been the stuff that has gotten me, you know, that's the stuff I respond to the most within myself.
I'll say the weird stuff that you do, and I'm using your words.
How dare you? My what stuff?
I'm going to do your set now. The weird stuff, your audience responds with a sense of almost childlike wonder.
Yes.
When you do that stuff.
It looks like magic.
Yeah.
It looks like magic.
Yeah,
that's why I like it.
But not in a cheesy way, in a like, whoa, you know.
No,
like,
I respect magic, so.
You know, and it's adorable in a way to watch the audience go, you know, kind of thing when you do these things. And so if you had dropped it, I don't even want to think about it.
I don't know even without Kelsey how I would have felt, like what that journey would have been like. But I was just so happy to see somebody right next to me just clearly see it and just kind of be like, oh yeah, of course.
I thank you for that compliment.
That does make me feel good. I hope so. That's also my big thing.
Sure.
I want to make my weird stuff laughable and processable to just any normal audience. I want to be able to kill at these indie shows and at the club shows. I want to be able to bring that.
If you're not bringing something else to your stand-up, it is just, I can't watch you more than one time. And I should not. I have to. I'm only alive this one time. I don't know how many lives you're having. But, like, if Martin had taken all of the things that made his act interesting out of his act, I could not have continued to date him.
It's
true. It's 100% true. And it was so disappointing to me to hear him say that, but I was also just like, yeah, just, like, don't do that. Maybe, like, Cap City, great, we love it, we love you. Maybe like the be all end all of comedy is not working at Kent City.
Yeah.
I don't know if
nearsighted in my mind.
Oh, yeah, I often point to this particular Austin comic as a model of this particular situation. Did you guys know Andrew Clarkston when you first?
Yeah, like, yeah. Andrew. He's a good friend of ours.
We went on tour with him.
We went on tour with him. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Gross Lonely Boys.
Yeah, Gross Lonely Boys. One, yeah.
Tour one.
Because he is also magical to watch on stage. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely hate for him to think, oh, well, I got to change if I want to get the hosting gigs at Cap City or, you know, wherever. And it's like, well, you don't change, because that's your craziness is why I love seeing you on stage.
I think you're totally right in that. I also think there's a lot of pressure to it, to people feel like to fit into this industry, you have to be a certain way. But it's like, I don't know, it's really easy for me to see that was stupid because, one, I'm a woman, so it was like, yeah, you have to just, like, always take whatever shit everyone gives you and shut the fuck up. I was like, this industry sucks.
I think it is benefiting from so many more gatekeepers and so many more options and routes to
doing stuff. Oh, totally.
Stuff, like,
if one gatekeeper...
Shout out to podcasts. are really helping people find
more
audiences.
I will absolutely say this about gatekeepers. One, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. Obviously, everyone respects you. A great job.
There are so many bookers and producers that we know who are killing it and trying.
If one gatekeeper does not like you, move to a different fucking gate. Like, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Move on. I don't know, like, some people just don't like me. I get it.
They're dumb.
I mean, it's not that they're dumb, it's just that I'm not going to keep trying to hang out with them.
Yeah.
I'm not dumb.
There's enough other choices.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comedy is the smallest piece of entertainment there is, and yet still there are hundreds of thousands of options for opportunities. And when people don't see that and they get trapped in these loops where they don't go to other opportunities, it is hard for me to feel sorry for them. But I still do, because I'm very nice. And you heard it from me. I'm a nice person.
Yes. So,
fuck you for not thinking I was nice. No, but some of the gatekeepers in this industry, like the producers, managers, bookers, some of those people are my favorite people. Shannon Cloud, I don't know if you know her.
I have heard that name.
She is a producer, and she now lives in Los Angeles, even though their graduate school scene sucks. she lives there, and she's killing it, and she's producing our tour that we're going on.
What?
Yeah.
A tour?
Yeah, we're going
Tell
on tour.
Tell us more.
Yeah, we're going on tour. It
hasn't been announced yet.
It hasn't been announced. Oh,
okay.
Are we not supposed to talk? I'm not that famous. I don't know.
No, there's no reason. I was just kind of saying why.
I was like, oh, I can't make an announcement about my own life. Great point, babe.
Hey. Giving a little tease.
Well, I will say, not only is it exclusive. Not only Shannon, but there are also women. Marianne Ways in New York is an amazing booker who booked me and Martin both at times that were really great for both of us.
Yeah.
She booked.
She's somebody who is really trying to add diverse
new voices.
By that, in every single way, you know, like not just new. Not just traditional diverse, like really, like interesting comedy, and I think that's what audiences are looking for now more and more. You hear audiences be tired of like the same old Trump jokes or whatever. You know, like I feel like that's a thing I've heard real people, normal people, not even comedy fans, just say, being like, I'm just happy you didn't do any like just like you know the same old Trump jokes I keep hearing over and over again. Not that I don't do Trump jokes. I'm trying to like work on like my own take on it, you know, like at least at the very least, if I'm talking about something like that, to be doing something different and interesting than just the same old. I think audiences are really looking for that now.
And I think the good gatekeepers see that. So also if a gatekeeper is like, you're not enough like everyone else, get away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally, why would you want to be like everyone else? Well, I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me. But also I understand there's a lot of pressure there and I'm not trying to devalue anyone's experience and feeling like total shit because a gatekeeper makes them feel bad, because that happens to literally everyone, including myself. Like, it's definitely happened to me enough that I'm like, oh, so it's illogical.
It is hard to see, and that is one thing that I've liked about moving to New York, is that you kind of just see, like, all the funniest people, and that's even, like, you know, title holder, like, you know, funniest person in
that's Cleveland, what I thought you were like, going to say. Tell this story. 2015,
come over here. What's the story? I don't know the story.
Oh, you're funniest person in Austin.
Oh, well, yeah, right
but
before...
also get me another beer first.
When I come back.
This is what I thought he was going to say before, and then when he didn't say it, I was like, what? Say this thing.
Well, this is a story about me and you. I was just kind of talking about, would you...
Do you want anything to say?
No.
And we're back.
He just couldn't not do it.
He just couldn't.
It's my favorite thing.
You had to make it weird.
So, so this is a little anecdote. I just like to tell people it sometimes. It's a very easy anecdote for me. Like, right before I moved here, Kelsey had already been living here for, like, almost, like, a year. Maybe, like, a 9 months or something. A while. And then she was like, you know, you gotta move here. This is where comedy's at. This is where it's happening. New York City, like... Come on out here. And I'm like, I don't know, I might stick around, do the funniest person in Austin contest one more time. She just slapped me on the face, you know, through the phone. And I was like, get on over here. And I'm like, good point. And so I was like, you know, I made that trip to visit, kind of impromptu. And after visiting for like a week, I was just like, yeah, this makes a lot more sense about where I am, what I want to do. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to stick around and do the funniest person in Austin contest, try to feature more and stuff. And I'm like, that stuff was, to me at the time, the big leagues. But now that I'm here, I'm like, okay, you know, that's an option if it's being given to you. Of course, it's a great opportunity. But it wasn't something that I could work towards necessarily. You know, it's a competition. You can't. You know, you can't predict competition.
I think it's important.
It's a club trying to do their own, you know, trying to get everybody to work. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to focus on me. So, and I moved here, and then the best decision I ever made.
I think it's important to say a couple of things about that story. First of all, he said he wanted to do the funniest person in Austin contest right after he had just done it.
Oh, yeah,
so he was like, I would like to live here for another
full extra year. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I was like, yeah, that's fine. You can totally stay in Austin and want to do the funniest person in Austin contest. I just cannot date you anymore because obviously you do not take comedy seriously. I was like, we just should not be together for the obvious reason that you don't want to be successful.
Did she really say that to you?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, she's about 100% right. I guess she said something.
But also, what is important to say is I never even advanced in the funniest person in Austin contest. Not even one advancement.
Yeah.
And it has, yes, held me back immensely.
Clearly.
People always come up to me on the street, but you never advanced. But you never advanced in the funniest person in Austin contest. And then I say... Oh my god, how did the bodega person know? How did they know?
I always loved the contest because it encouraged comedians to be like, hey, what's your best 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And then Dustin was always there, Dustin Swaylock, shout out to Dustin, mm-hmm. would record a very high quality set. So you got to.
It was a great opportunity for a comedian in Austin, and I'm not saying it's not.
Great opportunity,
not
the be-all, end-all. And I feel like people kind of get that kind of confused. At least I did.
Oh, was I making it seem like it wasn't? The funniest person in Austin contest is the be-all, end-all of comedy. And if you do not win, just kill yourself. Just kill yourself right now. Go home.
The opinions of our guests are not necessarily the opinions of Comedy Wham.
If you can't win...
Or Martin or Bob.
If you can't win the funniest person in Austin contest... No, it is very... It's really funny, though. It was really funny, and I think that's also something about the people in Austin that they could smell on me, that I just did not give a shit. Mm. And it's funny because the people, I'm still really close with multiple of the people that I was friends with in Austin then, who could tell I didn't care, who knew I wanted to do more. And I am actively not friends with people in Austin who are still in Austin, who are like, you know, that's their world, and I totally get it. I totally get it. Because I'm saying something very aggressive about their world. And I totally get it.
I think it's good for them to hear it, though. Because it's a paradigm shift. When you're in... And I'm not condescending to the scene itself. The scene is wonderful. But we all know that as a stepping stone, a lot of times you do need to go to New York or L.A. to progress, mm-hmm. you know, in the career. And I think it is good for them to hear that if you are only obsessing over winning this one prize, you are missing out on an entire world.
But there's like that's out there. There's like the big funniest person in Austin contest. The big, you know, the big leagues of it is just for laughs. Right. I think that's the funniest person in Austin contest. Another thing I'm like. Similar. Actively, I don't give a shit about. Like, that doesn't make sense for me to care about.
It worked out great for me, but that doesn't mean it's the thing either. Yeah, I feel like there was a precedent set, at least when I was bubbling up in Austin, that there was just, like, there, you know, nobody really had moved from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Fairbanks, Brendan Walsh, like, I mean, a couple people here and there, but the idea was you stay there long enough till you get, like, a big... You get the Just for Laughs credit or something, then you stay there another year, and you... This at least is what I remember, what people talked about, of course. I don't know if that's what everybody thought. But, you know, then after you stay there a while and you get everything from the... Then you are finally ready, quote, you know, in quotes, ready to move to a different place. And making that shift, seeing Kelsey make that shift and, like, really finding her footing in New York really quickly, finding a group of people who really liked her, responded to her...
And I didn't even when I first moved here. I hung out with the most clubby people when I first moved here. So it's like, and I, you know, and...
But still, that's finding a footing. Maybe not necessarily what you ended up doing, but there were, you know...
Oh, yeah.
You had friends and people you went to and shows you knew and all the open mics you went to.
I'm sure...
You had everything set up way more than anybody would have thought possible, maybe, and definitely...
Oh, definitely.
I didn't know that that was possible. The people who moved here were, like, Jake Flores, who recently had, like, you know, and Nick Mullen, who recently have, and that's kind
and
of
I
stuff.
And I don't know
but
either of those guys.
Cody Hustak and Ryan County moved whenever I was still living there. Like, I just didn't really know people out in L.A. or New York from Austin,
mm-hmm.
and now I think there's plenty, you know. I think that's the thing. I am kind of curious what it is like in Austin. I wish I could hear the hot goss and what everybody thinks.
I'm sure no one cares about me in Austin, first of all. I'm sure of that. And I'm, you know.
Me too.
Yeah.
But just about her.
I don't think there are people, like, pining for me or thinking about me at all. And I prefer it this way. Thank you. But I'm also sure there are comedians who are like, but how is she successful? She never advanced in the contest. And it's like, that's a hilarious thought, and I'm glad that I gave it to them to think. If they have nothing else, you'll always have that thought. You know who you are.
Well, there's the important message that there are plenty of people who have gone on to achieve successes without having that crown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of crowns.
Yeah, and if you're going to...
And also, I make my own crowns, so there's, like, tons of crowns.
Yeah,
so
literally, yeah.
Kind of a dime a
there's
dozen.
A crown store down the street. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, it's kind of like asking, how did the Beatles exist without American Idol?
That was a great analogy. Great job. I really like that. You should be a writer.
Sometimes I think about like when I'm starting to feel, ooh, I gotta fall into place and do all that stuff. I'm just like, Steve Martin never did roast battle.
Right.
Yeah, it's like exactly what you're saying. Like that's. You know, these...
But, you know what? It's good. I'm really happy. I mean, I can't tell anyone what's the right way to feel about doing comedy, except for, like, try to be funny. Honestly, please.
Yeah.
Like, not enough people are doing that, if you ask my opinion. But I think that I'm happy with the way I feel about comedy because a lot of my best, closest friends have done late night, and I'm just happy for them. And I have not done late night, and I'm not, like... I fucking hate them because they did late night and I feel so bad about myself for not doing it. I'm, like, just psyched for them. And it's, like, I'm psyched that Martin did it. I'm psyched that... And a lot of women who are, like, my really close friends have recently been on late night, like, Caitlin Palufo and Samantha Ruddy and Katie Hannigan. These are all, like, New York comedians who are amazing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I'm just psyched for them. And I know that if you're coming at it with this really competitive who's going to get the crown feelings, you're going to be fucking irate when someone else gets late night and you don't get it. And I know that's how people feel. And it's because they say it every once in a while.
Right.
And also, because you can just see it in their eyes. So they're like, I hate myself so much that you won and I didn't win. How are you better than me? And it's like, maybe you're better at some other thing. Figure it out.
Right, right. Well, we're going to start wrapping up. And
wrapping up what?
Oh, good.
Presents? Wrapping up the podcast. Do you have any final questions before I ask my final question?
If you want to move to New York,
go to graduate school.
And you're not ready for graduate school,
don't move.
What's the first thing you think a comic should do?
Just move.
Just move. Okay.
I did it very quickly. I had always.
Well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? It's not going to work out. You have to move home.
Yeah. I had to.
That's not that bad.
Get over the idea that, like, I gotta wait a year, you know, I make the decision, and then a year later, I save up,
people
I do all
love
that,
to
I
wait a year.
People, that's, oh, and dang, I heard so many times.
Like, it's no, the best way to wait 5 years.
Just, yeah, totally. It just, I just did it. I took the trip, and I was like, no, yeah, I'm for sure gonna move. And then a month later, I think I came back to Austin and was like, hey, I'm moving in a month. And that's, that was like my big statement, and yeah.
Yeah.
And,
you know, if you're going to move, and I think you used this word earlier, and I love the dabble. Dabble in everything. But you know what? If you don't click with the people, stop trying to think you're going to click with them. You're not. Go find new people. You click with them. It'll either happen or it won't happen. Just go keep trying new stuff.
Yeah.
Until you find some people who actually like you and get you, because it's like, there are people out there. And if they're not, you need to look inside yourself. I'm talking to you, men. There's something wrong with you. Work on it, and then reintegrate.
I do want to mention that some people think that, like, money's kind of an issue. I think for some people they feel like that, but in New York, they're like,
jobs
it's so expensive.
Jobs are a dime a dozen. You can find a low-level job.
People want you to work at their at their place, and there are plenty of people. You go to an open mic, and you just kind of, like, start talking to people, and you just ask
people. Everyone is doing an odd job.
I was lucky enough that Kelsey was just talking to another comedian, like, right when I moved here. It was just like, you know, Martin's looking for a job. She's like, you know, I got a job. You know, it's like some shitty office job in Brooklyn, kind of under the table.
Everyone
or whatever.
Tempts.
I mean, I don't have a job. I never got a job.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, yeah, temping. And it's, I know so many people who work at a moving company. That's like a big thing that a lot of comedians do. It's like, there's a lot of options here. And then because it's more expensive, the money gets, you know, like the minimum wage is higher and all that stuff. So it's like, I think it kind of works out. If you really want to move here and you feel like money is an option, I'm not trying to encourage people who are, you know.
Yeah, do y'all think too many people are going to move here after what I said?
Yeah, they're going to be. After this podcast is released, it's just.
Do I need to put a
warning? No more Austin Comedy Scene, because they're all going to move to New York.
Disregard Kelsey's.
Yeah, my
weird if New York got big.
It would be. I would just be irate if people moved here thinking I encouraged them to do so.
All those people.
I mean, if you want to do it, you're going to do it no matter
what. That's
what
I mean by the money thing.
There's really nothing that anyone can say to anyone. It's like, I honestly don't want to encourage anyone to do comedy. Because if you want to do comedy, you'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
And if you need encouragement, you're not going to make it. I'm so sorry. If you need literally an ounce of encouragement, you are going to fail.
It's so true.
And it's like, that's okay. Like, you're really good at baking or something.
There's other stuff out there. Stand up isn't the be all end all, and that's something also learning is good.
Also, I like kind of sucks.
It sucks sometimes. There's a lot of bad to it.
Oh, should we talk about my viral video before
we will in a moment.
I'm killing it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to ask you my final question. My final question.
Are
we
cracking up? Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
It's my podcast, Kelsey. You get your own podcast, okay?
This is the kind of encouragement I've warranted against.
You said don't encourage. Yeah.
First time there's been a red card on.
Okay. One word to describe your future, and I know what you said last time. Again, open slate. I didn't do that.
Love that you don't have any of the margins for your thing in your mind. It makes me feel like, yeah, we know.
I got
up.
Much better at documenting after Martin's episode. Sounds like a handful that I don't have. I'd have to go and re-listen.
Did you say a word about our future?
Yeah.
No, don't re-listen. Don't do that to yourself. You only live this one life.
I have two possibilities.
Okay.
There's only two possible outcomes what can happen with my life. Number one.
One and zero.
Fame.
Okay.
Number two. Death. An early, early death. Or I'll become very, very famous. Who's to say?
Babe, why are you
only
acting,
time will tell.
Why are you acting like they're mutually exclusive? I think both are going to happen.
Well, I'll
sure.
definitely get famous in death. I guess I should have mentioned that.
He's going to die so famous, so young. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there just thinking, this is how what he wanted. I thought of my word.
Okay.
Infamous.
Whoa.
Also, it's the opposite of your word, but also somehow interchangeable and better.
Do you want to know what you said last time?
Infamous? Did I say infamous? Are you saying yes, though?
You said regal.
No.
Did I say regal?
You said happy.
Damn. I was so lighthearted then. Now listen to me. Happy's okay. good. I like happy.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, yeah.
That was nice of my anger.
It's been 3 years. So.
I'm so happy.
All right. So let's talk about, as we wrap up, let's talk about the things you want to promote. You've got, obviously, your viral video.
Oh, not only would I love to promote my viral vid, which is just a parody, I would say a more accurate retelling of the Louis C.K. opening of Louis, his show that was on television. It's just basically me impersonating Louis as he is, just really jerking it on the street. I think you would love watching it. Please go. It's on my Twitter. It's still also on YouTube. They did not take it down, but you do have to be either 18 or 13 to watch it. I'm not sure. But it was red flagged.
Speaking of.
But I also think if you're going to watch that one, you have to watch the sequel. Me again impersonating serial sex offender Louis C.K. Masturbating in front of Mark Normand. that also you can find on Twitter. Great vid. Mark Normand did like it. He did not retweet it because he is a big fat pussy. That is science and facts, and it is actually historically accurate. So those are really all I would like to promote about myself. Did you have anything you want to promote?
Same.
I don't know if y'all knew this, but Martin made the Louis video with me. He was the Foley artist.
Oh, nice.
Does that sound familiar?
Oh,
wow.
I get all my jerking off from my boyfriend's hands.
Yeah, check
truly
out my
a partnership.
Jimmy Kimmel vid.
Truly a partnership.
You
yes.
haven't seen that yet.
Very
I don't know
good.
Why you wouldn't.
Very
and
good.
Then check out
I liked
my
it.
Set in January on Comedy
on
Central.
On Comedy Central.
And,
Comedy Central.
Follow me on Twitter. I need more followers on that thing. Trying to get famous over here.
And if me and Martin do some sort of television thing, show together, you know, watch it.
Be on the lookout.
Absolutely.
Just, like, look out for it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, just, like, just in be case. Aware.
Yeah.
This is a future promotion. I don't know the next time I'm going to see y'all, you know, so I'm just, like, throwing it out there. Y'all could just put up a Google alert. For Kelsey Kane, Martin Urbano, is that you?
I like the idea of just walking downstairs and as the door shuts, the Google alert goes off and it's already happened.
This is actually secretly how we're announcing it. And I didn't want to tell you because I wanted it to be a surprise.
Oh, goodness. Well, this has been Comedy Wham Presents Kelsey Kane and Martin Urbano in alphabetical order.
It should be.
And follow us, rate, review us, comedywham.com. You'll find the articles.
Good. What? Only if they're going to rate good.
Yeah rate only good. If you're going to rate good.
If you're going to rate bad, get out of here. Yeah. Why'd you listen for so long?
Comedywham.com.
That's right.
Wham.
You can write articles, read articles, and then listen to the podcast that accompany the articles. And I feel like I'm forgetting other parts of the conclusion, but that's okay. This has been Comedy Wham Presents. I'll just flip it around. Martin Urbano, Kelsey Kane. Yeah. I'm Valerie.
I'm Laura.
And that's been funny. Thank you.
Yay.
This has been recorded in front of a live studio audience.